once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And unwrapping cellophane or something at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Corey, with all the crap going on in the world, I think it's time to take the audience on a Jungian journey into the collective unconscious by using the shadow as a metaphor for primal self that gets repressed by the modern persona, and also by using an underground setting and labyrinth office design to represent both the depths of the psyche and the dungeon-like isolation of in our increasingly mechanistic society, which prevents people from finding satisfying work and or meaningful connections with others.
I am
in
all
short,
for that.
No freaking today. Let's just do it in the entire positive geeking episode, and I will give you the theme. But first, I have a question for you. It's not really an ask Strode, it's just a question.
You're not going to ask how much I love Jung?
Nope.
Oh, because when I was in psychology classes in college, I was a Jungian.
I was a lot Jungian, too, in college, but that's not what I wanted to ask you.
Oh, okay.
Back when I was a traveling salesperson here on with the TSA, what did you used to call the segment that when you were trying to figure out where I was?
Where in the world is Joe Ryder?
Where in the world is
Corey Strode?
Ooh, I dropped the entire octave.
Yeah, I am outside the fair metropolis of Fairview, Illinois, population 300. Let's see, if you go to the Google map, you cannot even see the house my parents own. The Google car has never been by it.
So, now it's your turn to describe, I mean, it was kind of fun, isn't it? Just taking a travel and just meandering through the country and just figuring out where you're going without any real worries or hurries.
It was nice not being in a hurry. What I did, I decided I was, you know, most of the time when I come down to Illinois, it's I take the interstate so I can get here within 6.5 hours. But I have the whole week off, and I had not, I thought there would be fall colors. I thought that.
They're chasing you.
But I thought I would drive down.
I warned you, but you listened. Oh, no, I'll just take a spray paint and make my own cars.
Well, there was that, too. But I drove down the Mississippi River Road, which is a series of roads on each side of the Mississippi that goes all the way down from Itasca to where the Mississippi River goes into the Gulf of Mexico. Now, I only took it down to the Quad Cities, where I then rejoined the interstate to make it my parents' house. But for 2 days, I just kind of wandered through, and it was like, oh, look, here's a bridge. I'll go on the other side for a while now. Oh, look, here's a bridge. I'll go on the other side for a while. And one thing that surprised me was that it goes through a lot of tiny little towns, towns less than 1,000 people. Now, I did go through Winona, Minnesota, did not see Winona Ryder anywhere, which disappointed me greatly, but I did see Jimmy Jam's Comics and Games.
She knew you were coming.
If she knew I was coming, she would have baked a cake.
Nope. She got a pumpkin to crap in a pan. Pumpkin pie!
But I went to Jimmy Jam's Comics and Games, which I guess now they have another store in La Crosse.
Ooh, didn't know that.
Yep, they have opened a second store, and they will not be at the convention that was over the weekend because the person who runs the La Crosse store has his 20th wedding anniversary. So the owner has to work for him so he can have the 20th wedding anniversary off. Now, you'd normally have a wedding anniversary around SpringCon, right? You planned it that way, didn't you?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I don't ever recall Jimmy Jam's coming to a con, but they do promote it, which was very nice.
I guess he comes up and sort of bottom feeds to fill up the store. I did not see a lot in the way of back issues. They had a huge selection of graphic novels, though. Pretty much everything Marvel has in print, most of what DC has in print, a lot of IDW stuff, a lot of Image stuff. But when you first walk in, if you turn to the right, that's their new comic wall. But before you get to the new comics, there is a large section of recommended graphic novels that if you buy it and you don't like it, you can bring it back for your money. They are guaranteed. And, you know, a lot of stuff like Squirrel Girl and Ms. Marvel and Kill or Be Killed, DC stuff. But I love that idea. I thought it was very cool. And then with the new comics, he had backers behind them like local creator, female creator, really nice setup. I, of course, went over to the Half Price bin and spent about $100 on Half Price books. In the back were DVDs and used video games, and up at the counter he had the older used video games like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. And it's also a gaming store, not as overwhelmingly gaming as some of the stores you and I have gone to, but he had most of the big board games that are hot right now, like Apples to Apples and Settlers of Catan and there's one, I think it's Infection or something, that it's a board game that simulates a plague, and as you as a doctor, you're trying to stop the plague. It's a really cool board game. Because people were playing it there. He had tables set up in the back for people to play, but this was on a Monday afternoon, so there were only a couple people. But a very nice shop, and if you're in Winona, go ahead and stop by. I was very impressed. Really nice store in a nice area. Looked like it'd been there a while, and a lot of inventory. But on the newer books, he doesn't have big stacks of them, so he's ordering close to the bone. Was all sold out of Marvel Legacy.
Well, they had an event going on where they would give away Legacy if you showed up. Like, first 50 people could get a free one, depending on the store. I saw different stores doing that. I didn't jump on it because I had to go to work. But
now, did you read Legacy yet, Joe?
Nope. I read the crossovers, which are actually kind of fun. But I haven't, like I said, I haven't got my hands on actual copy of number one yet. I got Box Day in a few days, so hopefully.
Yeah, Box Day was delayed for a lot of us because DCB service moved to Kentucky to be closer to Diamond's Warehouse.
That makes sense.
I wouldn't move to Kentucky. But
that explains, though, why a lot of people, they said one of the problems they have with Diamond Warehouse is that they pay so little, and the guys work basically Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so they can ship everything off Monday. And you're like, why are we having trouble finding minimum age workers to work the weekend and nothing else? I was like, what the?
Yeah. But a lot of
Did you get to visit the lacrosse store?
I did not. I was just kind of wandering, especially when there for a while. I was in I was in an area that my phone had no data. You know, it's set up for roaming, but there was not even any data. So it's like, well, guess I'm just kind of going till I find something. There were places where the road was pretty darn narrow. On one side, you could tell they carved out. You know, you've got the rock, that carved rock on the side of a road that we don't have around the Minneapolis area, but everybody else seems to have. And on the other side, it's, there's the Mississippi River, so you really kind of want to pay real close attention to the road. I mean, there were places where I was driving and the satellite radio didn't even work.
Yeah, that obscure. We have places like that. You got to go down to the gorge down along the Mississippi Boulevard down by the U, you know, where they just carved the the road right next to the cliffs that, you know, the Mississippi formed. And some of them close during the wintertime because what people don't realize, there's still water moving through all that rock, and it ices over, creates beautiful ice sculptures, and then covers the road, of course, with impenetrable ice.
Yes.
So it's a very interesting drive. What happens, I noticed, because I told Corey this, and I don't know if I shared this on the road or not, but Chris and I once went up from Memphis north, and most of the river, except around the St. Louis area, you can't see because they're all behind the earthen dikes and dams they use to control flooding. So really, the Minnesota and the Wisconsin side, and even down into Iowa and Illinois, you're looking at some of the more scenic areas of the river. You know, we take for granted because we, you know, we cross the thing daily, but, you know, we've got some of the best roadways to allow you at least view the river. And then, of course, as you're heading south, it gets bigger and bigger and wider. And then you hit those lock and dams, it gets narrow and then gets bigger and bigger.
Well,
so I mean, I was watching along. I caught some of the live video you ran. It was actually kind of fun just traveling. It's like we were traveling along with you. Reminded me of the old days when I used to be on the road and do traveling by myself.
And when I was in Prairie du Chien, which is where I stayed for the night, one of the artists who sets up at the convention all the time, John Munt Esquire, offered to show me around. He is part of the Historical Society, so he showed me, would take me someplace and give me the historical information on it, and we got to spend some time by the river, and I went up to, and I did not even know that it was in Wisconsin, went to Pike's Peak, although, no, it's in Iowa. Yeah, it's on the Iowa side. Went to Pike's Peak, and there's, if you head over to the...
Say it again, Pike's, five times fast. Pike's Peak.
But if you head over to my Facebook page or the Instagram page, you'll see video from atop Pike's Peak. And pretty impressive. And no, I did not get right up to the edge because I have a terrible fear of heights. And it's funny because John would go, well, and if you look over the edge here, you'll see a rock. And I said, well, I guess I'll never see that rock. But the second day was more there were times when you were right next to the river, and there were times when you were fairly far away from the river. Oddly, the further south I got, the more the trees were changing, especially by the river. And what I learned is that down here in Illinois especially, they're suffering a mild drought, which is why the trees are changing, because it's, oh, well, we don't have a lot of water, so we can't really support these leaves. Time to get rid of them.
And, dumb.
Then I have been down here relaxing and reading. And I do want to pass this on because John and I, you know, we went around and we were talking about jobs and stuff because he was talking about what he does for a living. And I said, well, you know, one of the reasons I work at the group home is because, you know, if the economy goes bad, there's always a job there. You know, lately it's been a little overwhelming. And he said, yeah, I've been getting a little worried about you. And all I can think is, I see this guy at conventions. This is really our first long conversation, but we've known each other online. And he's worried about me. Good thing I'm just not
talking about a whole lot. Well, you don't listen to anybody else. I mean, I'm so busy. I worked. I slept 25 years at the group home. I haven't been home. My heating bill's zero. Oh, what am I going to do next? I got 300 podcasts, and 200 are overdue, and 500 are late, and I got novels to do, and you know, I haven't shaved my back in 25 years. Yeah.
You shave your back?
But you're coping. Oh, it falls off naturally now.
I was going to say, I gave up on that. I just wear a shirt all the time. Because I've seen the devices for shaving your back. It's like, yeah, that looks like it would cause intense pain and a lot of blood.
I would rather wax.
I would rather not bleed.
So anything else while you were traveling the Great River Road?
Just some really beautiful sights. I stopped at some antique stores, and really after you've stopped at two antique stores, you've stopped at every antique store.
They all pretty much
have the same thing. I did see an issue of ROM number, like, 45. Not a special issue in any way, shape, or form that they were trying to get $20 for. And you could tell that the plastic bag it was in was yellow, and I could not stop laughing.
Yeah, that's...
I can pay $20 for it here, or I could go to any shop that has back issues in the world and pay, 50 cents.
Yeah, I think the era of people buying from antique stores, at least comic books, is over.
I think people who don't know about comics will buy them.
And it's really stupid because you can pick up any friggin' price guide. These guys have access to this stuff. And you can compare it to something like when you and I explored Antique Minnesota a month or so ago. And, there they had guys at least had them priced accurately. And you'd really like to know what, because they had some really nice stuff.
Yeah. But
cool. Good.
It was a wonderful
good trip. Good relaxing one.
You kind of
get what I liked when I was – I liked – exploring when I went to new areas like that. What I didn't like is that a lot of times I'd stop and I'd think, I wish Chris was here. But it's just fun to kind of do that, especially when you don't have an agenda or you don't want, there's no rush. You can just kind of take your time. And
yes.
Although one thing, and I was going to say it earlier, I would have hit the lacrosse store because whenever I go somewhere, it was always my goal to hit every single comic store because I was positive the one book that I needed would be at the store I didn't visit. More importantly, I could then figure out which, could I live here? Yeah, they got a decent comics store.
Well, I wasn't really looking for anything, though. The books I bought at the Jimmy Jams were, I wouldn't mind reading this while I was on vacation. So I picked up the two Mystique books that had Sean McKeever's run and Brian Vaughn's run. And a...
Cross-gen run?
No, Mystique, the X-Men character.
Oh, cool.
And let's see, the Steve Englehart Celestial Madonna miniseries he did. And as I'm reading through it, it's like, I don't remember Silverclaw at all. Joe, do you remember Silverclaw at all?
I don't think I ever read the Celestial Madonna saga.
Silverclaw was actually a character that came about in the Kurt Busiek, George Perez run. It was the girl who Jarvis had sponsored and then came to America to go to college.
That's ringing a small bell.
And she's able to take the form of any animal.
And what happened to her?
She just kind of wandered off because, Kurt Busiek created her and nobody else really wanted to use her. It's kind of like a triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of remember triathlon because there was a long mystery around him and he tied in with 3D Man. But Silverclaw is like, I don't remember this character at all. And then I go back and I am reading the Perez Busiek stuff on my tablet and it's like, oh, that's where she's from. Okay.
See, that's why I like to go to comic shops like that, because you never know what you'll find. Plus, it gives us something to talk about. Yeah. And now we got, the next time we decide to go on a geeking day, we'll take a run south and go to Winona and LaCroix, and then maybe LaCrosse, and then cross over to Rochester, because there's got to be a comic store there.
Yeah.
Rochester. I'm going to use the old Cray 3000 to see... Although I wouldn't be surprised.
And there's a stamp
I think there's that's a little bit farther. But yeah, that would be a fun one. Oh wow. Nerding out. Cool. So there, we got three places to hit, and then I suppose Albert Lee must have something, because Albert Lee will be in the way as we cross over to Austin. Albert Lee, of course, being where ChapelCon is.
Yeah.
So there, look at that. We already got our next trip planned. And
there
you haven't even finished this one. Because you still got the return trip.
Yep, on the way back it'll be faster, though, because I'm staying here till I got to be Sunday. I'm just going to drive back, listen to the radio, because I got to be back at work on Monday. Mm-hmm. But I will actually be going to the town I went to college in to meet up with relatives. But I may actually – now, when I went to Western Illinois University, it was like, I don't want any of these T-shirts and hooded sweatshirts. And that's stupid. Now it's like – I think I might get a hoodie. Might get a hoodie of my old alma mater.
Yeah, why not? I'm still looking for a white and nerdy hoodie. Other than the fact they're like $6.
I do know that the movie theater I worked at is now a church.
Boy, you just have a bad reputation on things. I think the old comic shop I used to work in is now a church.
Well, let's see. The comic shop that I used to help out at, when the owner passed away, it closed up. A different comic shop is there, and I might be able to visit it. It's called A Boy and His Tiger. But it's mostly a gaming store that has some comics, from what I've read. And I think more and more you're going to see more of that, where comics are kind of a side business, if the sales reports are true. Because for Marvel and DC, they're still making this a little more money than they made last year, but comic shops are not, because more comics are selling digitally through, like, Apple and Comixology, and even trade paperbacks you could buy on your Kindle. You can either try to hunt down the most recent printing of Infinity Gauntlet and pay $25 for it, or, oh, look, it's $5.95 on the Kindle. Boom. There you go.
Yeah, but some of us just don't like the Kindle experience. I like the tactile feel of actually having the graphic novel with me.
Well, because you're old.
So it's always... And that's the thing that I want. No, it isn't. What it is, it's something I would reread over and over again. If it's something I've never read, like the aforementioned Serpent Affair, Celestial Madonna, yeah, that I'd Kindle it, because if I don't like it, then at least, well, I didn't pay a lot for it. I've read it. You know, end of subject. There's oodles of things
yours.
I would reread. But Infinity Gauntlet, oh, no, that one, I've actually got a couple things I'm looking for on that one. But that's a different subject.
Well, and there you go.
So how,
there's my trip.
The one half of the trip. See, wasn't that fun? That's one thing I loved when I was on the road, just having a – where in the world is Corey Strode? Now we can play that game too.
Well, there we go. And what's it been like up in the Minneapolis area? Did I miss
How the
anything?
Hell would I know? I'm in the friggin' basement getting ready for FallCon. As we're dealing this, it's we're recording on our normal Thursday. This will drop on Monday. And in between is the actual Fall Comic Con, which, as you all know, was at the Minnesota State Fair Education Building. As soon as this here podcast is done, I am going to commence the task of moving 30 long boxes from the basement up into a moving van that my brother-in-law was graciously he uses it to move his sound equipment. He's letting me use it so that way I don't have to incur the expense of a moving truck or van or trailer or something like that. So now we're I'm just waiting. Now, I don't know, Corey, if you've ever discovered the phenomena that a long box filled with comics that are unbagged weighs way much more than a comic box that actually has things properly bagged and boarded. Did you know that?
Yes, I do know that. Matter of fact,
well, I'm going to
know
that.
I wrote an article for Wizard back when Wizard was hot about how to get fit using your comic boxes that they didn't use. Is, you know, how to do deadlifts with your comic boxes, how to do squats with your comic boxes.
That's
and I was
to
surprised they
afternoon.
Didn't use it.
Yeah, no, he should have. That's my afternoon. My only real worry is that it's not a straight shot, because I got to go up the stairs sideways, and then I got to pivot and go out the door and out the door again and then down more steps and blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to take it slow. I'll have all afternoon to do it. I ain't going to rush it because, you know, my back sucks anyways. And I don't really want to screw it up. But hopefully by next week's podcast, I will have a con report. You'll have a return trip report. And, holy cow, this year podcast is practically writing itself.
I know.
And we still haven't even gotten to the second half of our DC Dream Teams.
Well, we'll do that next time.
See, all the I don't know, between the con and your trip, we might not have time. And the only reason we're not doing it this week, the DC that is because I told Corey, with all the outside negativity. We're going to have us a non-freaking, totally geeking, positive podcast here. And I thought, all right, let's just talk about, we've talked about so many things we like in comics, so many things that we enjoy, that we recommend. I thought, let's just talk about, in general, top 10 things we like about comic books. The industry, collecting, reading, whatever. Some of them, I mean, we've already alluded to now, you know. And you want me to start here, Corey?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I love going to comic shops. You kind of like, I mean, listen to me, you know, I'm listening to you talk about going to Jimmy Jam's. It's a shop I've been to for ages, and every time I'm there, it's different, which is really cool. But I love going to comic shops. I love checking out the displays. If I still had a comic shop, I'd be looking at it like, oh, that's pretty good. I'll incorporate that. I'll steal that idea, things like that. There's just amazing things to look at. And I'm always curious, like, will he have the one issue I need for my collection? Will he have something I've never seen before? Could be local creators. It could be a gem, like you said. Especially we hit a lot of discount books. Whenever we go to these places, we just dig through them. And, you know, you get spoiled in the Twin Cities. You go to the same comic stores over and over. You see the same things over and over. So when I travel, and it drives my sainted wife crazy, I love to hit comic shops. Even if it's one, like when we went to Duluth, I've hit all those comic shops except the ones in Superior. I don't know what new things they have. I don't know what new books they may discover. You know, I just kind of, I don't go through necessarily like Amazing Spider-Man. I just go through the miscellaneous books looking for those gems that I may have missed, overlooked, or never heard of. So, yeah, I love – that's one thing, number one on my list. I love going to comic shops. How about you?
For me, one of the things that I love along those lines is on the Internet, everything that's public domain pretty much is out there and available. I love the fact that I could go out there, and if I want to read stuff from the 40s, 50s, even into the 60s and 70s, if it's public domain, it's there. So rather than having to, oh, I'd really want to read that early Ditko stuff that was not for Marvel, that he was doing for Carlton into the 50s, 60s, even Ditko worked for them into the 70s. It's all there. A lot of the stuff that Kirby self-published, it's all there. There is a treasure trove of legal free comics out on the Internet. All the Warren stuff is public domain. All of it. It's out there. You want to read Creepy and Eerie? Now, me, I like having the books because it's a beautiful package and they really put it together well. But if I just want to read them, let's say I'm down here at my parents' house and it's like, ah, you know, I'd really like to read those really early Eerie magazines. Boom, there you go. They're free out on the Internet because anything that's public domain, people are going to be slapping up like you can't believe. And public domain comics, there are people out there who are tracking when stuff goes into public domain and put it up. So there's this wealth of stuff that you're never going to find at a comic shop. You're never going to find 50s Carlton comics in the back issue bin at your local shop. But there it is. If you want to read, if you want to see Ditko, his style evolve from when he first got into comics to when he was finally working at Marvel, you can do it. Joe?
Along the same lines, and this will be a lot shorter because I'll pretty much just repeat what I said for love going to comic shops. I love going to comic conventions. You know, I'm excited about FallCon. I mean, I'm dealing, but I don't deal as much as I used to because I got to tell you, it's got to be a young man's game because I am not looking forward to moving these 30 long boxes of books. I mean, it's just most of my non-blowout books are in short boxes. The long boxes, that's for you young. That's for you young kids. Us old kids, I'm gonna sit here with my short boxes. Why in my day I used to lift 20 long boxes in a trip. I'm lucky, Mike. But part of the Comic-Con fun is just like with comic shops. You have no idea what's going to be there, who's going to be there. It's a chance to see guests, which is phenomenal. I think the highlight was when Corey and I actually got to attend the San Diego Comic-Con. That, to me, is one of my treasured highlights of being part of it. Not only, I mean, going out with Corey, going to San Diego, Comic-Con, going to San Diego. I mean, it was just fantastic. And seeing not only creators, I mean, I took a ton of pictures, picking up, I don't know, it's like I can go to a table and instantly zero in on something that's so unique that I've never seen before, just because I've collected for so long. I may not be able to afford it, but it is kind of jazzy to see, you know, a Detective 27 in real life. You know, and granted, the guy was at the time offering it for $3,000. I didn't have $3,000, but I wish I did. It's just a lot of fun. And the local cons are fun because I see a lot of people that I, from my own comic shop, I see people, creators that I've grown up in, with and appreciate the work of friends. One of the big things at Falcom I get to see, I think, I don't know if Terrence Greep was going. A lot of times he can't because, you know, he's wrestling that night under the Spidey baby. But Peter Krause is going. I had Peter Krause on my radio show back in the 80s, and I've maintained contact with him almost constantly. One of the runs as I was going through that I had kept is all the Peter Krause's stuff. You know, no matter how obscure he did issues here. Of course, his big run, Power of Shazam. He did Irredeemable for a while. He did Insufferable just recently with Mark Waid. Plus, I have his original run from Entropy Tales / Nightwolf, which I get to torture him with. That was his creator. So, you know, yeah, sometimes you don't want a good fan. It's like a bad stalker. And, you know, even we've talked a bit about some of the – there's just a ton of smaller cons popping up, and some are – not as well attended, and for a dealer that sucks. But for me, as a fan, someone who enjoys Comic Cons is great because I can go, I can dig through boxes, I can maybe get a decent deal, you know. And I don't know how this is going to work with Fall Comic Con because usually I come back and I'm like, I bought this and I got this and I only spent $20 and got $300. I'm there selling this time around. I'm sure it's going to slow down or I'll get a chance to go get gas. I mean, I go look at stuff. So. I enjoy comic conventions. It's just a ton of fun for me.
Let's see. Next on my list is the history of comics itself. I'm just fascinated by the history of comics. If you listen to this podcast, you know that I consider myself an amateur comic historian. And anytime I can learn more about it, because there's so much of it that was obscure and odd and strange, and it was pretty much a garbage art form until the 70s, where even the people who worked at it were like, yeah, we create disposable stuff. You know, a lot of comics started because, well, it's cheaper to print these things than it would be to shut down the printing press and start it up again in the morning. And especially in the 30s and 40s, some of the characters involved, you know, well, even into the 80s, the distribution. I was at one of the first two-day convention, and I'm sitting there as Martin Greep's talking with Dennis Kitchen, and they're both telling stories about, you know, the local magazine distributor firebombing Cap City trucks because they were distributing magazines. And it's like, yeah, the insurance company told us we needed to change how we did things, and we had to sit down with the local magazine distributor, with a guy with a vowel at the end of his name, and tell him, look, we're not involved in your business. Or in the 50s, where there was so much misinformation. Oh, the Comics Code is what killed comics. No, it was American independent distribution being shut down that killed so many comics. And it wasn't until even more recently that I found out the reason why they shut down American independent distribution was because the company that bought them up found out that the real estate was worth a lot of money,
And it's, oh, well, we could do a quick cash grab or we could keep running this magazine distribution. Do the quick cash grab. So it's things like that that keep me interested in comics, not just, you know, the current stuff that I like reading, but digging into those comic history books and reading the interviews in Alter Ego and comic book, Back Issue. And comic book artist and things like that, where you're finding out all the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, for years we were told that a lot of what was in Marvel Fanfare was the, you know, the
fill-in
stuff. But no, not all of it was. Some of it was, well, you know, Steve Gerber started this fill-in story, but he only two issues got done. So we commissioned him and this artist to finish it up. And the George Perez Black Widow thing was supposed to be a run in Marvel Premiere, but again, it didn't finish, so they brought him back to do that. So that sort of stuff, the behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, finding out that there's this George Perez story that DC still has that they just need to color it and it's ready to go, except it was done in the 90s. So everything's out of date. And by the time he got it done, it was so out of date they shelved it and haven't printed it. Ah, I love that stuff. Joe?
I love seeing comic books in non-comic shops. It's just something, I mean, when I'm going around, you know, I'll hit pretty much anywhere. You know, Walgreens, I go to Toys R Us, I'll Target, whatever. I get a kick out of seeing comic books in non-comic shops because, to me, that's exposing the media to somebody who probably doesn't even realize they're still making comics. I mean, you talk a lot about the publishing numbers, and they are so far low compared to the millions and millions of people that see, like, Spider-Man or Avengers or even Batman beats up Superman for no dumb reason and stops because their mom's name is Martha, whatever. Just seeing them there, I don't know if it's allowed, but a lot of times I just want to take a picture of them and just share it. I probably will. I mean, they can always come say, hey, what's your problem, kid? Taking pictures of comics? Get out of here. But, like, when I was up in Barrow, Alaska, my comic shop was that comic rack, and it got refilled sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly. But it's like they had more comics in that store than most shops anywhere else in the United States, non-comic shops. We talked a lot about how excited we were about the Digest, the Marvel Digest, being in actual stores. I haven't seen them in any stores. I haven't even seen them in comic shops. But, you know, that's the type of exposure that this industry needs. I get a kick out of going to a newsstand, and whether even if it's something like Barnes & Noble or I just happen to run across one at a bookstore, and just looking and seeing, well, what comics do they have, just to get an idea of what it looks like. So, you know, and I do, they come and they go. I mean, I've seen comics at Toys R Us, and I go, oh, cool, they're here. And then, you know, I for whatever reason, we've talked about a price point might be too low, or maybe they were just there for a short time. I still think, you know, the newsstand could be viable. I'm probably naive on that, but I'm thinking in terms of just exposing people to comic books as a form. I think there should be, every time you have a major movie, you should have a giveaway comic book. You do it for Free Comic Book Day, which is oodles of fun. But you know, Spider-Man, if I still had a shop, I'd be like, okay, give me about how many of the Free Comic Book Day things you got left? Give me them all. I'll stamp them with a card and a coupon and pass them out in front of the movie theater as people are walking in. Yeah, maybe a lot of them would end up in the trash and that, but still, just it tickles me pink when I see that. I've said before, you know, when I had my comic store, whenever I, and this was the 90s, if ever I found a stack of Spider-Man comic books, I would buy them and bring them to the shop because they're just weren't around. Now, you got these characters on almost everything.
Yeah, it's more of a commodity, but I do enjoy that. I mean, kids know who Spider-Man is. My friends at work know who the X-Men are. So I do like seeing the comic books themselves, like I said, in non-comic venues. Corey?
Next thing about comics, the subject matter is unlimited. Just this week, I read a very personal comic about someone dealing with depression. I read a story about the Avengers versus Thanos and how Thanos no longer was in love with death. I read, I'm reading the Return of the Avengers from an alternate universe created by Frank Richards. And I'm reading about Spider-Man beating up the Shock for the 400th time. I'm reading about a bunch of people planning a bank heist and it going horribly wrong, and them setting up one of the people involved to take the fall for it. All in 1 week, all in comics. When I go to Netflix, you know, everything is shoved into, you know, its genres. And there's so much it's hard to find. And with comics, it's the same thing. You know, when comic shops started, pretty much everything was superheroes. You know, DC had some war and some horror books, and Marvel didn't have anything that wasn't a superhero book. And you know, Archie was still around. And then the indies came, and they had some other stuff. But now we're at a point where I don't care what the genre is, I don't care what kind of story you like, there is a comic doing that. And would Saga have gotten, you know, if Brian K. Vaughan went to AMC with Saga and said, I have this idea for a TV series, it wouldn't have sold. Because it's too many different genres, it's too many things all mixed up, there's nothing else like it. Walking Dead. There were no zombies TV series before The Walking Dead. Now you've got two of them, and probably a third. No, you've got three and probably a fourth. And all the creator has to do, he doesn't have to go to, you know, get funding. He doesn't have to do this. He just needs to sit down with paper and start drawing. And you can do anything. There are very few mediums like that where you don't have to make a pitch and get approval and raise money and all that. There's just something that I love about that. Just absolutely love that. Joe?
I just love reading comics. I mean, we've talked about doing the Kindle and the Marvel Unlimited and things like that, which is fun. But I just love the tactile feel of sitting back in a comfy chair. I got a pillow behind my head, and it's kind of fall temperatures up here now, so I'll take a comfy blanket, pile of comics, and as I read them, I just put them back down, pick up another one, read them. Graphic novels are there too, but they have a different feel. You know, comics have a definite feel, and it's just something I just enjoy doing. You said the subject matter is definitely there. I get to see old characters that I'll never see again, especially in different media tie-ins. Star Trek will live forever. I love Battlestar Galactica, the original ones. There's been other media tie-ins that I've gotten excited from, even sometimes like when Duke Nukem had his own comic briefly. Sure, they might not sell well, but I just enjoy that. It's like revisiting old friends. Nothing gives me the anxious feeling like the, oh my God, I can't believe what this happened. I got to wait 30 days to find out. I could do a podcast on it. Maybe I will, just of all the times I have read comics, I've been so excited and I had realized I got to wait 30 days till I find out what happens. And, you know, a lot of this stuff nowadays, you just don't get because a lot of it's, well, I'm an old guy. A lot of the stuff I've read is in book form already. So you can sit down with the whole graphic novel. And we'll talk about this later when we get to, you know, talking our regular geeking section, but, you know, I'm rereading The Boys, and I can't believe some of the places they stopped. It's like, oh, my God, people had to wait 30 days for the next installment, and I just have it right now. But that is an incredible feeling, and to still feel that way, oh, Lord. I mean, my first comics were in 78 where I started collecting, and I still read, and I get that feeling, the, oh, what's happened next? It doesn't even matter if it's a superhero. Knights of the Dinner Table was that way. They were busy playing a revenge game with, what do they call the guy, Gary Jackson?
Oh, and yeah.
They get to a point where it's like, oh, I got to wait. And I know when it starts, we're gonna start somewhere else, not immediately where they ended. And it's just a great feeling, and I just love that. Your turn, Mr. Strode.
The people involved in comics, by and large, you've always heard your whole life, never meet your heroes, because they'll always disappoint you. I have not been disappointed by meeting any of the people that I admired when I started reading comics. All of them were incredibly gracious. They were happy that we cared. They were amazed that we remembered the stuff we do, especially the Silver Age guys. You know, for a lot of the guys in the Silver Age, this was just, you know, a job. And I always go back to what Kurt Swan said. Somebody at the convention we had him at asked him, well, you know, did you want to do comics? Why did you stay so long and everything? And he was like, it was a job I could get done by noon and go out bowling or go fishing or, you know, just sit on the porch and have a few beers. And it wasn't stressful. To him, it was just a job. Now, yes, there was a time when the comic creators all thought that they were rock stars, and there are even some comic creators now, and most of them don't deserve the idea. You know, oh, you self-published two little comics, and you're walking around saying you're a rock star, that you're famous. No, you're not. Okay, you're not. But for the most part, the people who work in comics are just, they're very happy to be working in comics. They're amazed that people like their stuff. So many friendships I have are from comics. I wouldn't know Joe if it weren't for comics. I just wouldn't. So many people online. I don't know why, but at least two or three people every day. Oh, I share 100 friends in common with them. What do I have in common with this person? We both love comics. Cool. Add ya. And, you know, 99.99 times out of 100, they're just people who love comics. And we've got that in common, and it builds a community. And I think that's amazing. The convention next year is the 30th anniversary, right? Because it's 88 is when we started it. Think about the community that has built. You know, think about the size of the community that's built, all of the artists and all of the people who, you know, were scrubs in the 90s who now, you know, have great careers going, or people who showed up at our convention when they were nobodies and now they're kind of a big deal. I always tell the story about Gary Hartle. Gary Hartle was a local artist, was drawing Conan. Back when Conan wasn't selling that great, Marvel was basically just publishing it so that other companies wouldn't. And he'd gotten the gig drawing Conan, and he was just loving it, And at the convention, he was sketching for free because he was just having so much fun being at a convention. To the point where some of the older artists came up to me and was like, you need to talk to this Gary guy. Why? Well, he's giving away sketches, and everybody thinks that we just give away sketches. Well, I could talk to him, but, you know, you've already got a sign up that says how much you're charging for a sketch. If he wants to give a sketch away for free, we can't stop him. And they'd grumble and moan, and Gary was just happy that anybody wanted his art. And now, at Warner Brothers, Joe, next time you watch Animaniacs or you watch Freakazoid or you watch Hysteria, you're going to see Gary Hartle's name as the executive producer. Because he got out of comics and got into animation and climbed the ladder there. And everything you read is about how he just loves working in animation. So many of the people who started our convention, you know, getting out of MCAD, the Minnesota College of Art and Design. They go on to bigger things. They go on to do stuff in comics or in fine art or whatever. And that sense of community, I don't see that in other hobbies. I really don't. I don't see quilters supporting each other and doing the same sort of thing. Or, you know, I went with you to some of the Hot Wheels things. And there,
oh yeah,
the people like Hot Wheels, but there's not that sense of community. And
no, I've known guys who have tried to do that, but it's always more. They get more cutthroat.
Yeah,
you know, like I said, I've only met one guy who ever did that. You know, we happened to hit a Walmart. He's like, "Oh, you should pick this up. This is pretty good." And this is where most of the time they're like, "Oh no, I gotta keep these. Our good buddy Nick Post used to say that in the realm of collectors, Hot Wheel guys were on the bottom. Because they were taking a 99-cent mass commodity toy and telling me it's worth, you know, hundreds of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Joe? I love recommendations. I listen to everything you read, Corey. You've turned me on to so many different things. The one I always talk about is Battle Royale, the epic from Japan that just... You got to read to believe. I mean, it's just amazing. I read Tony Isabella, his recommendations online. Always looking online to see what people are promoting or say, hey, you should read this. I love it. Free comic book day, just getting free samples of things to look at stuff. There is so much out there that I will never get to. There's so much out there that I may love that I'm just not aware of. One of the things, and I say this every con, I wish I had the $1,000 so I could just go through and buy all the small press guys stuff to give it a shot, because I know there's something in there that I'll absolutely love. You know, time, money is always a big limiter, so I listen to the recommendations. I hope, I gotta say, Corey, you're much more articulate in recommending things than I am. I'm kind of like, hey, you know what? I read Amelia Rules, I like it. That's about as far as I can go, because I don't know a lot. I don't feel like I express myself. So hopefully, if you listen to the podcast long enough and you like, you know, what we're doing, you know, give what I recommend a try. If you've got something you like, you know, Corey and I love to hear from our listeners. Just what are you reading and what you enjoy? I mean, granted, we'll probably take it and throw it on the podcast. You know, whether you send us a soundbite or just catch us in passing or just send us a quick email. You know, podcasts really are more of a passive listening thing. But, hey, you want to get active and share what you're enjoying, what you love about comics? Do so. Let's work for us. Yeah. Corey?
Let's let other people do the podcast.
Yeah, hey, this is an all... Oh, yeah, he did it. We're just... let me just read this.
Oh, we don't even have to read it. They could call the phone number and leave it.
There is. We'll have all that information.
It's in the ad.
It is. So if you skip over the ad, listen to it. At least once.
Last
Corey...
Because we're at an hour.
Holy cow.
I love the geeky aspect of superhero stories. I love the Marvel Universe. I used to love the DC Universe. I might start loving it again. But I like the fact that it's, okay, these stories all take place in the same world. And, you know, Spider-Man has met Doctor Doom. And we're going to refer to something that happened 10 years ago. And the characters grow and change over time. Even the characters that people say don't change, they change with the times. Batman has changed so much over his history. Superman has changed so much over his history. Even the Fantastic Four changed over time. Spider-Man, they keep the core of the character, but he has changed over time. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't live in his aunt's house and... It gets beat up at school and takes pictures for the Daily Bugle, but they keep aspects of it and just grow it over time. And I like that. I like the continuing story. I like that it all Now, one of the things that I complain about Comic Ban is that story doesn't matter. Well, they don't have to matter as long as they're a good story, but I like the fact that some of the stories matter. That's the, you know, big things happened. Secret Wars, the latest Secret Wars, we're still feeling the effects of that, and I think that's cool. I like that TV has now moved into that. It used to be, you know, you'd watch a TV show, and every one of them was separate, and they weren't connected in any way. But over the last 20 years, each season is a long story, and it's a continuing saga. And I think that they've pulled a lot of that from comics and soap operas because it makes you feel more engaged. It makes you feel like you're part of it. You know, the X-Men went too far with it, and I think that's why they kind of fell apart over the last 15 years. But there was something cool about the X-Men, that there were all these subplots and interconnecting things and interrelational things, and you felt like you were in this club. And Marvel really fostered that. DC has tried at times, but they still have trouble. But I like that aspect of it. I like the nerdy, geeky aspect of things being interconnected. Joe?
My last one. Corey, I love doing this podcast with you. I know when we did our anniversary, I kind of just shuffled it off because I didn't want to do any mushy shit. But damn, I look forward to doing this podcast with you. I've been very lucky in my life. I mean, there's times where I just kind of stop and I'm like, hey, you know what? I had my dream. I ran a comic store for 10 years. I made lots of friends. I miss seeing them every week, but I get to at least do this with you every week and hopefully make some new friends. And it's just, you know, even this week, Corey and I were trying to figure out, okay, well, I'm going to be, you know, loading 500 pounds of boxes into my car. Corey's going to be out in the wilderness getting in touch with his inner man. But we still figured out how to do the podcast, how to get it going. And, you know, I do the easy part. I get to be the Jerry Lawler. I show up, I make cracks, I just sit back. But Corey does the hard part. He hosts this through Dream Host. He edits it. You know, eventually I'm hoping to join him in Podcast Mania and do a few more, but until then I just enjoy this weekly get together. You know. And of course I really enjoy going to Duluth, so That was just a blast, you know, and I was watching with a little envy you taking your road trip down to where you're at, you know. So, and hopefully if you guys love this podcast, we'll keep doing it for a while. Well, at least another two episodes.
Yeah, we've got over 1,000 people who downloaded the first week, so somebody must like it.
That's nice. We like you. We love you guys.
Yeah. Joe will give you a big hug. Me, I don't hug.
I will. Corey's not a hugger.
No,
unless you're, you know, a large-breasted redhead with pie.
Brunette.
Or brunette. Yeah, I know. I've kind of
learned my lesson with the redheads.
Not me. I'm ready to go.
No. Last redhead I had to deal with, it's like, I think I've finally broken that addiction. One of the things I love about the podcast, and I say it over and over, the theme of the podcast is best friends getting together talking about what they love. And we've had some missteps over the years. We've had some mistakes over the years. But it always comes back to that core of, you know, when I have Dan on. Dan is a wonderful guy. I love spending time with him. Wish I could spend more time with him. Adam is a local podcaster. I love having Adam on the show. It's too bad he moved to Iowa because, you know, we'd probably bring him along on our road trips and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll take a road trip to Iowa sometime.
I drive through Iowa, Joe. There's nothing there.
Yeah, but it'd be fun just to see. There's a couple of things we haven't seen. We talked about it.
Okay.
You didn't go to Field of Dreams yet. Get a picture of you and Korn. I went there when it was like only ankle high. It wasn't the same.
Oh, there's all kinds of Korn around me.
Could you just imagine that guy crawling, you know, if you build it, he will come. He crawls out of the corn. No, it doesn't work that way. He's got to walk out of the corn stalks.
Well, and you did build it, and people did come for a while, but not enough.
Yeah, that's true. Not enough.
Not enough at the second shop. You know who does have enough people?
No, that's not true, because we need to give them more.
Well, fine, I'll find another. Let me think. You know who doesn't come out of the corn?
Not much better, but who is it?
You know who's not one of the children of the corn?
Okay, now we're talking.
These guys, ooh, our sponsors.
This show has sponsors, and those sponsors are our best friends. They could be your best friends, too. Our first sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best bar none web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, DreamHost.com is the host you need to go to. And if you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. Just go to DreamHost.com. Do you need healthy snacks? You probably do. We all do. How would you like them where they show up without you even having to order them, where you just get a subscription, they show up, so that when you've run out, they show up again? Graze.com has great healthy snacks, and you get a free box if you use the code CORYS3R5P. That's CORYS3R5P. Your first box and your fifth box are free. If you're listening to this show, you're one of the smartest people in the whole known universe, and you're probably fed up with paying too much for razors. So join Dollar Shave Club. They deliver great blades every month for just a few bucks. No more schlepping to the drugstore. No more overpriced, ridiculous shave tech that you don't need. Razor plans start at just $3 a month. Check it out and let us know what you think. Just go to dollarshaveclub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. If you'd like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or the Solitaire Rose podcast, we'd love it. Just go ahead and email me at corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. You can also send us emails there. We love to get them. We love to read them. And most of the time, we can build a whole show around a three-line email. So go ahead and email us at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call or leave a message that we will play on the air at 952-856-0519. Thanks.
And after we do the sponsors, we talk about the podcast coming up. Hey, Joe, we got podcasts coming up, you know.
We do? I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
It was supposed to drop last week, but due to some technical issues, it'll be this week. We've got a new episode of Bad Advice. Bad Advice number 6. That's the one you were on for a few minutes.
That's because nobody's listening, so there's going to be more Bad Advice.
Yep. Bad Advice number 6 drops this week. New episode of Novelcast will drop this week. We got this here podcast. And coming up, we've got some more series in review. I'm going to be jumping on the EC train again. We're going to be doing some more Tales from the Crypt within the next few weeks. So lots of podcasts coming. Head on over to badadvice.solitairerose.com, novels.solitairerose.com. Joe might even do a solo podcast by the end of the year, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I would.
You should take the Once recorder I got rid to of all that on.
If I can find the damn thing. That's the problem. They're so small and compact, they could be anywhere. It could be over here. Could be over here. Could be. I just don't know. I got to sell this stuff so that I can find the things I'm missing.
You sell that stuff so you can buy a new recorder, and then your daughters can take it.
Yeah, well, that's what we bought it for originally.
Yeah. And after we talk, after we do our my plugs, we do Joe does his plugs. No, not hair plugs.
Yeah, I go bald with dignity.
Joe?
So you got to answer the question.
Well, we know what's going on the eBay. We talked about it already. So, Joe,
okay.
What other plugs do you have?
I got none. All my eBay stuff's going to the con, and by the time this year podcast come back, I will be working about 5 days doing a inventory of what's left, And then hopefully by the 12th of October, a mere 3 days from this year podcast dropping, I will have the eBay stores back up and running. And who knows, I'll have some fun stuff that I found at the con that I brought back. And as usual, if you see something you want, let me know you're on this here podcast. And although my accumulation of stuff will still be, well, I'm not kidding. It's still going to be vast. I like to do a little extra special, pop in a couple things and maybe I'll get you an autographed copy of Worldwide News, the book. I mean, they're rare, you know. Yeah. Can't have my copy, but, you know, maybe I'll get one for you. Maybe.
Well, after Joe does his plugs, we get to my favorite part of the show. No, not where I wander down in the woods where I played as a child and see that they've turned the creek that I used to play into a very large pond that you don't want to get near because the ground is all soaking wet and you'd step in and lose your shoes. No, it's geeking and geeking.
Yes.
Because Joe said no freaking this week.
No freaking this week. Well, we'll save that for next week.
Okay.
Basically,
well, and also, like, you know, we got to save some geeking because it's October, which means we are 2 months away from my favorite episode of the year, Joe. Festivus is coming.
I'm trying to do my best Kiff from Futurama. Anyways, I'm just going to hear geek on some of the things. I haven't read as much as I had the last couple weeks where I just sit there and I'm going to spit out a ton of things. But there's a few highlights I'll hit, and some of them I might have repeated. Like, I think – have we talked about – did I talk about Legends, a collection that I read? I can't remember. It's one of those $5 books.
Yes, you did.
Yep. Okay, so then I think I –
about how the story no longer matters.
Yeah, and I think the other one was Sir Apropos of Nothing from Peter David, which is not only a book, but it's also he did a mini series called Gypsies, Vamps, and Thieves. And Sir Apropos of Nothing, I'll just read the back cover here. Every heroic fantasy has its hero, the dashing, noble, fearless warrior for good who rushes into battle against the forces of evil, fully secure in the knowledge that he will save the day and win the hand of the beautiful princess and live happily ever after. This is not about that guy. Peter David's written, three books, I think an ebook, and then, of course, a miniseries published through IDW, and I picked up the comic graphic novel from a Comic Mix about Sir Apropos of Nothing. You know, and basically, if you – okay, here's the beginning where Apropos, and that's his name, is talking about the man in black across the desert fled. As for me, I rode across the desert on a horse with no name. That's the opening paragraph. And believe me, it doesn't get any better in terms of pun-wise, but it is a lot of fun. And what's interesting is not only the visualization of this, but also Peter obviously is having some fun, like when his character gets sucked up into a twister. I'm just kind of looking at some of the things we look at. I say, well, it looks like maybe his fallen angel. I think I see Popeye, Bart Simpson, Beatles, Peanuts. There's a TARDIS. There's the Enterprise. There's Thor. Obviously not there, but in, you know, silhouette form. So he's just having fun with the visual medium that is comics. The books themselves are a delight to read. I recommend picking them up, whether you can get them new, get them e, or whatever. And then if you can find the graphic novel, enjoy it as well. I finally got around to reading Larry Mulder's Bean World, Hoka Hoka Burble Burble, which is a most peculiar comic book experience. If you've never read Bean World, just pause this podcast like you want to do. Go out, get yourself a copy. Bean World is hard to describe because it's not scientific or magical. It's a separate reality. It's not just a place, it's a process, and that's what it is. And the story moves on, and I had a lot of fun reading this particular chapter because a lot of things happened that I didn't understand. They'll probably become apparent later on. I went and reread it, and some of it got a little clearer. But it's basically just the beans slowly growing and adapting to their world around them. So just a joy to read. Larry talks in back about why there was such a long length between books. Part of it is his wife was ill and passed away. Another part was he wanted to do a 400-page graphic novel, and it just was bogging him down. And so one of his editors suggested, well, make some smaller ones. That's what good editors do. They make decent suggestions. So he's got, let's see, this is book four. There's three out. I guess one's kind of a half book because it reprints stuff from other places. But just a lot of fun to read. On the other side of the spectrum, I read, oh, help me with the name here. Leiji Matsumoto's Queen Emeraldus, Volume 2. If you've heard of Captain Harlock,
yes,
this is the same guy. Same guy.
Oh, okay.
He just made kind of a female pirate. I've never, you know, talking about moods, this book, she's basically probably the baddest ass pirate out there. And she's by herself with her ship going across the vast emptiness of space. And, you know, like the opening line, I am Emeraldus, a woman who wanders the ocean of stars under the flag of a white skull stained with crimson blood. I show no mercy to those who defy me. In space, countless men pursue their hopes and dreams and ambitions, gambling on their selfish futures. And the artwork is just so, you know, I don't get this from any other sci-fi movies or artwork, but just the artwork of the ship and the vastness of space as she's just wandering, looking for something she has yet to describe to the readers. She says she's the witch of the spaceways as she is alone wandering across an infinite cosmic ocean. Just a fantastic read. Two volumes. They come out infrequently, but when they do, I'll definitely be picking them up. I finished reading through. You know, I really got to read more free comic book day stuff because this next one, I'm embarrassed to say I bought. Well, I'm not embarrassed to say I bought it. I bought it for the comic shop. I bought every issue that came out. I bought the graphic novels. Never, ever read it. And this is Jim, I think it's a G, Gronley's Amelia Rules. Basically, it's about Amelia. She's 9 years old. Her mother moved from Manhattan to live with her super hip Aunt Tanner after Amelia's father and mother divorced. So she's dealing with a new town, a new school, a new set of cliques. She has a crush on her best friend, Reggie, who also wanders the community as a superhero Captain Amazing. And she wants to keep it secret, but her other friend, Rhonda, also has a crush on Reggie. And there's other characters, but I read there were two or three free comic book day offerings, and they were just amazing. Well read, a lot of fun to read, and I will probably be looking for these again at comic stores and things like that. Gemstone had a number of free comic book day issues, and they were just amazing. A few of these I'm going to keep. Like they had one, Donald Duck Adventures, where they reprinted Donald Duck stars in Maharaja Donald, which was reprinted from March of Comics 1947, story and art by Carl Barks, never republished anywhere except in the Free Comic Book Day edition. There was a Uncle Scrooge Donald Duck, A Matter of Some Gravity by Don Rosa that was done, and it was out in 1997 in Walt Disney Comics and Story 610. But again, just to read this, and in the back, Rosa talks about how much fun he had doing it because they do something which I played around with as a kid. I don't know, Corey, if you ever stared in a mirror and pretended you were walking on the ceiling or wonder what it would be like if, what if I could walk on walls and that's how my gravity would work? Well, what if, what was that? The duck that was always after Magicia Dispel.
Magicia
after
Dispel,
Uncle Scrooge.
Yes.
Yeah, after that magical dime. Well, what happens if she gets it and she casts a spell on Donald and Uncle Scrooge where she redirects their personal gravity horizontally or vertically? And how do they stop her from getting away with the dime? Just an amazing story from another one of the greats. And, of course, the other one I picked up and in keeping is Free Comic Book Day, Uncle Scrooge, where they reprinted number one from Uncle Scrooge, four color, 386, 1952. I had chances to buy this comic. Now it's in the stratosphere, but to have a Free Comic Book Day one. And these are fun books that I will be rereading over and over. Speaking of another one that was never, as far as I can tell, published outside of the Free Comic Book Day issue, The Preposterous Voyages of Ironhide Tom by Joel Pridley. There's been a couple that I've recommended where I've wanted to buy more, and I don't have my list with me. Oh, wait a minute. I just found it. Where'd it go? Jeez, I'm telling you, man, I'd lose my head if it wasn't attached. Oh, here it is. Some of the ones that I talked about, Ballad of Sleeping Beauty, Young Terrorists, One Punch Man, I think you read that one, Stuff of Legend, Junior Braves of the Apocalypse, 40 Winks. I mean, these are books that I want to pick up outside of just the free sampling they gave me in Free Comic Book Day, which works because that's what the point of Free Comic Book Day is. But as far as I can tell, this one, The Preposterous Voyages of Ironhide Tom, has never been published outside of Free Comic Book Day. So I think it's just a chance to show off Joel Pridley's, Pridley, P-R-I-D-D-Y, other books. And I will definitely be looking at them. But it's you got to love how the first two panels start out. The first one, you got crowds of kids, all children. And the next one has three. Even the creepy ones who stare at you with disconcerting lengths of time with cold, expressionless fish eyes. No one loves stories about Ironhide Tom. You know, his father was a scurvy sailor who learned to bottle the aurora borealis and under its influence fell in love with a typhoon. The marriage was brief but passionate. Ironhide was born on a moonless night in high tide and left on a sandbar. Raised by horseshoe crabs, subsisting on seaweed and barnacles, occasionally supplemented with larger fare, such as Franklin. And what education he received was from brown shrimp. Ooh, light. Ooh, dark. It was not extensive. He was captured by pirates. Some thought he was a variety of sea ape. So listening to sailors, he learned a variety of language of men. Arr, avast, mizzenmast, pinnacle, bosun, hawser. And it goes on from there. Just a crazy one to pick up. Don't look for it in my thing because I'm keeping it. So when the next comic book day rolls around, I'm definitely going to have to spend a little bit more time and actually reading through it because oftentimes we'll get our box, we'll rush home, and then it's like, okay, we've got to pick five. Which five do we want to pick other than, you know, the DC, the Marvel, whatever. So there'd be gems in some of them. If you have them, take a look, and who knows, you might discover something you might have overlooked the first time around. So that's pretty much all I'm geeking on. Like I said, next week I'll have more of a con report and more stuff read, more stuff watched. More. I want more. Corey?
I have loved my trip down and am enjoying my time here. When people say, what are you doing? It's like nothing. Not really much of anything. Yesterday I sat on the deck and read a novel, the latest in the Max Collins. I think this one was called, well, it's the second one in the Reader series. So this one was State of the Union. And it's a mystery novel that starts with random professional killings and the characters trying to figure out why they are connected. It's, you know, a detective novel. Max Collins, who's done comics like Batman and Miztree and Wild Dog and has written tons and tons of excellent novels. If you're looking for some really good crime novels, the Elliot Ness series he's done, meticulously researched and just a lot of fun if you like that hard-boiled detective stuff. I'm now reading and loving a novel called Lasgood's Boys by Jim Starlin. Joe, do you remember Hardcore Station at DC?
Yes.
Starlin owns that.
Ooh.
Even though he had DC characters showing up in it, so this series of novels is set at Hardcore Station. And Lasgood's Boys, get it here, is three genetically enhanced brothers save Earth from a merciless alien corporation. No, will they save Earth, or will they kill each other first? The plan was for them to overthrow the Weeds once they grew to adulthood, but that scheme went south almost right from the start. Now it's anyone's guess who might survive the resulting chaos. It feels like a Jim Starlin comic. His other novels he wrote in the 80s were okay, but not great. This one is a really good page-turner, and I think because he started it as a comic, he's kind of created a world for it. So he's not having to spend a lot of time doing world-building. And this one also, with his previous novels, he co-wrote them with his spouse. This one is just him. There are two novels out so far, and there will be more. He's basically just writing them for Kindle. They're not being printed as, you know, physical novels. So if you've got the Kindle Unlimited, or you've got, if you've got Amazon Prime, you can borrow it. But I went ahead and bought it, because it's Jim Starlin. I'm going to read it more than once. And I'm about, I would say I'm about 20% into it and really enjoying it, looking forward to it. Comic-wise, I read the Steve Englehart Celestial Madonna miniseries as a paperback, and while it was not all that good, it did prompt me to go back and read the Kurt Busiek, George Perez Avengers, which I have not read since it came out. And, Joe, do you want to feel old?
Yeah, might as well.
That came out 19 years ago.
Believe me, after digging through my collection the better half of the year, I'm like, oh my God, so how old am I? Don't do the math.
But the storytelling style is very different. Perez was inked by Al Vey, who he hasn't been inked by before. So Perez's art looks very different from what I'm used to. When we think Perez, we think a lot of detail, but Alvey's inking brings even more of that detail. So it's a little overwhelming, and the color is very, very bright. Whoever colors Perez always makes his stuff look very, very bright. So I'm enjoying that run. I'm also reading the Hellstrom run from the 90s. Which started by Raf Nieves, who was the co-writer on Tales from the Heart, which Joe knows. Len Kaminski took over when Raf could not make his deadlines. And now I'm reading the stories written by Warren Ellis. And this is a very early Warren Ellis. This is like 93, 94 Warren Ellis before he was Warren Ellis. And it's really disturbing. Warren Ellis is really good at horror stuff. But he's really disturbing on this. You've also got early art by Pete Gross, who went on to do a whole bunch of stuff. He's a Minneapolis native, and he's probably best known for his time on Books of Magic. But this is real early stuff, and it's
and
almost...
if I can butt in, I will recommend, if you can ever find copies in the corner bins, of Empire Lanes, which was, I believe,
yes,
his first self-published work. Oh, I wish. I know he can't return to it because of he's had issues with his drawing hand and stuff, but fabulous stuff if you can find it.
The premise of Empire Lanes was kind of these four Dungeons and Dragons adventurers pop up into our world in a bowling alley.
Bowling alley.
And
I've got
that's where the name comes from. Empire Lanes is the bowling alley.
I believe it's four issues and then a one-shot from Kimiko.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that's it. He went on to bigger and better things.
But enjoying that run as well, but mostly just kind of not working. I also went to Minnesota's largest candy store before I came down, and they have built on. Joe, have you been since they have built on?
You know, the thing is I much as I want to go, my wife's like, I've been there, done that. And I'm like, well, but it's more. So I may end up just taking a solo trip or maybe seeing if the daughters want to go.
The new room is a large round room that is filled mostly with Japanese candy.
Ooh.
I mean, mostly. You know, there's some other things along the side, but for the most part, it's all Japanese candy. And I spent $35 because this year they do not have Rat Bastard root beer, so I didn't buy a case. But I'll be going back at least one more time, and then it's become tradition that I go Thanksgiving morning. So I will be going Thanksgiving morning to pick up a pie and get the last bits of candy because they close for the season Thanksgiving weekend. You and I went last year on Thanksgiving weekend. I had already gone on Thanksgiving. That's kind of my thing on Thanksgiving. I go there, and then it's Mystery Science Theater all day.
Well, I tell you what, I am off that week, so if you're game to go,
I always go Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I could pull it off because usually I'm cooking with Chris, but we can figure it out.
And kind of looking forward to the drive back because one of the things that I'm getting a couple things on the car fixed because it's much, much cheaper here, and the car will be much quieter. Because the things I'm getting fixed are things that aren't, oh my God, fix this or the car will die. It's more things that you fix so the car will last another 50, 60,000 miles. So the car will be much quieter. And I really like driving down because I had satellite radio. So it's like, oh, listen to Howard Stern. Now I'll switch it over to Garage Rock. Now I'll switch it over to this. And I had a wonderful soundtrack all the way down. Driving back, I have to stop at the world's largest truck stop, so there will be pictures of that. And my son knows of this distillery outside of, I think, either Cedar Rapids, where they make really good rum. So I'm going to try and stop there if he'll actually tell me where the damn thing is. Believe it or not, kids, I have wasted an hour and a half of my vacation talking comics. And you've been listening.
And we hope this enlightened your day. Thank you very much. Don't think we don't appreciate it.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Keeping with the theme of positivism, I am not going to read a joke this week.
Oh, thank goodness.
So just hit my music. Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll. Hey.